You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Last night, Governor Walker gave his fifth State of the State address. A key moment of the speech came when the governor proposed the merging of state agencies like the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority.
Walker also said he's asked the state's new attorney general to work with him on a lawsuit against the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's new rules regarding carbon emissions, saying the rules could hurt Wisconsin manufacturing.
Mike Wagner's here to talk about what was and was not said at last night's State of the State address. Mike's an assistant professor at the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, Governor Walker kept it short last night, talking initially about his achievements. Let's hear a little.
If you remember nothing else, remember this. More people are working while fewer are unemployed. State government is more effective, more efficient, and more accountable, and the state's financial condition has improved. Budgets are set based on the public's ability to pay instead of the government's hunger to spend. School scores are up, and more students are graduating, and we are helping more of our fellow citizens transition from government dependence to work. The Wisconsin comeback is working.
Governor Walker there making the case for what he calls the Wisconsin comeback. What did you make about that early part of the speech and the case he made there?
Well, it's sort of part and parcel of State of the State and State of the Union addresses where, you know, the person with the microphone is going to spend some time talking about the great things they've done. And, you know, we saw some of that in the speech. But even then, there weren't a lot of specifics. A lot of times you'll see people in these kinds of situations say, we've, you know, created this exact number of jobs. And he did talk here and there in the speech about there are maybe 7,000 or so more jobs than there were before the recession. But there wasn't a lot in the way of meat on the bones of the achievements or what his precise plans are for the next legislative session and his second term.
And something else drawing attention was the length of the speech itself. We're hearing that it clocked in at about 24 minutes. Put that into context. Is that short or is that about right?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think the news media certainly seemed to feel as though it was short, and Governor Walker's general political opponents seemed to say that it was short. I'm not sure how long his other speeches have taken in comparison to this one, but he was about halfway through before he started talking about his agenda for the second term. And so he maybe gave between 8 and 12 minutes to his plans for term number two, which isn't a lot of time. Then again, giving a speech is not the same thing as governing, and you know the proof will be in what happens in Wisconsin over the next several years.
One thing he did get into a little more as far as policy was his plan to merge state agencies, and that's probably getting the most attention the day after. What did he say last night?
He talked a bit about some things he regularly talks about while campaigning and governing with respect to increasing government efficiency, getting rid of government waste. That's a big theme for Governor Walker. His inaugural address contained a lot of kind of anti-government rhetoric, and the State of the State had a little bit of that, too. And I think that was, kind of the traditional kinds of things we hear from Republican governors and Republican presidents about, government not, being a solution, but a problem.
And is that going to be a hard sell for anyone besides the Democrats? Is this something that should go down easily, go over well with Republicans?
I think Republicans typically prefer that message and, can famously harken back, to Ronald Reagan giving similar kinds of statements and when he was running for office and when he was president during the State of the Union addresses. And, it's the kind of thing that goes over well with Republicans, especially those who vote in presidential primaries.
And how about the merging of agencies? Is that something that will take some time to settle in terms of how both parties feel about it and what gets done?
Yeah, how that works and who keeps and or loses their job or what responsibilities get merged or changed are all things that have to be negotiated. The agencies themselves will obviously have a strong interest in how these negotiations go. Will certain things that they've done go away and not be a part of what government does anymore? Are they really overlapping? These will be things that we'll have to learn about in the legislature, and then they'll make some proposal and pass it or not.
Well, Democrats are pointing to the creation of WEDEC and from the Department of Commerce and saying, well, look, that didn't go over perfectly smoothly. Maybe we should be careful about this. Is that going to be a sticking point this time around?
That always is. State agencies and federal agencies are very protective of their turf. And we've seen when agencies merge or when leaders want agencies to merge, turf battles start to happen almost immediately. It's very difficult to share information, so it becomes hard to know, are we duplicating services? That kind of stuff becomes difficult to know. President Bush saw that when he created the Department of Homeland Security and bringing in different agencies that had been in different places under one and getting them to communicate, getting them to agree about what their jobs were and were going to be in the future is really challenging. And on a smaller scale, Governor Walker will have a similar challenge.
And there were another couple of agencies that he talked about merging, and one was an agency that oversaw banking and things like that, and also the other, which oversaw physicians and also building safety. Now, at first blush, those don't seem to go together. What do you see as being the end goal of a merger like that one?
We didn't really hear what the end goal was other than create efficiency and eliminate waste and improve accountability. And so that's about as specific as the governor got. And so what purpose that would serve is something that he and his supporters will have to flesh out in the next session.
Maybe falling under the governor's stated intent of improving efficiency is the bottom line at this point.
I imagine. And so we'll have to know, well, what does efficiency mean? How will we know when we've got it? And how will doing this particular merger improve it?
So he's also planning to take on the Environmental Protection Agency, the new rules on carbon emissions. He says he's working with the state's new attorney general. What was your takeaway from that?
I think that's another example of kind of the anti-government rhetoric and legislating, you know, kind of taking on the federal government with its new regulations is another example of what Republicans typically prefer in terms of having states having more rights to behave the way that they want to behave with respect to manufacturing, with respect to the environment in that particular state. You know, the United States is a very diverse place topographically, and so Wisconsin might argue that our needs are different than what the EPA has laid down. At least I imagine that's what the Attorney General and the governor will do as they potentially make their case.
Now, sort of the big picture here is, how do you look at the speech last night in the bigger context and the headlines about Scott Walker these days, which are mostly about whether or not he's going to run for president?
Well, political watchers and pundits and those sorts of folks who watched the speech last night were pretty much unanimous in their conclusions that this is the kind of speech you give if you're going to run for president. Now, Governor Walker has not said he's going to run. He has made some hires for people to kind of explore that possibility for him and to start building an activist network and a donor network and that sort of thing. But he hasn't said he's doing so. But he did not give a speech that was long on detail last night. And it wasn't a very specific speech about the things he wants to do in Wisconsin. Instead, it was a speech talking about how the broad things that he has been a part of in Wisconsin are an example for the country and are an example of how state governments do a better job than federal governments. And he's sort of building the case of, I've led a state, we're doing things better than the federal government. You could easily imagine the next sentence being, and that is why I'm running for president. And whether he does or not, of course, is, you know, up to him.
Would you consider that a clear signal then, what we heard last night? Is it safe to say that the chips are falling on the side of a presidential bid here?
I think the evidence looks more like he's going to run, but until he says so, he's getting what he wants, which is people talking about him potentially running for president.
So keeping it more focused on achievements, not so heavy on the policy and the nitty-gritty there, how does that go over with constituents, people who would vote for him? I mean, do we want to hear more policy, do you think, or do you think that this is what people expect from a State of the State address?
Well, I think, you know, we can think of constituents in a variety of ways. In terms of his supporters, they, you know, have been shown in, you know, survey after survey to have a pretty high degree of trust in Governor Walker. And so if he's not being specific with them in one speech, it stands to reason that his supporters will say, we trust the governor to do the right thing. We voted for him, you know, in some cases three times in the last few years, and we trust him to do the right thing. Governor Walker's opponents are almost certainly the most likely to be pointing out there wasn't a lot in the way of detail. There were some points in the speech where he said, you know, that he was kind of going to explain a bold new policy, and then there wasn't any explanation exactly of what that might have been. And so, you know, his opponents will say, there's no details. We can't, you know, we can't really know what it is you're up to. And his supporters will say, we can trust him, and he has a track record of delivering on the things he's promised to deliver on.
That's a concern for some people when you have a governor who is possibly running for higher office. Are they going to put their own state on the back burner? And in this case, what does it tend to look like? If we look at other examples, other governors who've run for president, what happens to their state as they do that run?
Well, you get the opponents trying to make the case that they're abandoning their that the candidate is abandoning his or her state, that the candidate is leaving them behind for their own personal ambitions. And we've seen that on both sides of the aisle. We saw it when Bill Clinton ran, and we saw it when George W. Bush ran. And so it's not really a partisan thing. It's the opponent will say the governor is leaving constituents behind. Typically, though, governors who've run for president work pretty hard to make sure that their work is not, kind of falling behind the wayside in their state, and they certainly work hard to make sure their perception is that they are on the ball. Bill Clinton went back to Arkansas during his campaign to preside over an execution, which had a variety of things he wanted to communicate about being tough on crime and for the death penalty, even though most Democrats aren't trying to appeal to middle of the road voters. And so we'll see that kind of thing if Governor Walker runs as well.
We're talking right now about last night's State of the State address from Governor Walker. Not a lot of policy proposals, but there were some, including the merging of state agencies. Mike Wagner is our guest. He's an assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you take away from the State of the State address last night? What do you think about some of the specific ideas, merging state agencies, challenging the EPA on carbon emission rules? And do you see this speech as a sign that Governor Walker will or won't run for governor? Should he or for president? I'm sorry, should he or shouldn't he run for president? Call now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're back with Mike Wagner, assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. We're talking about last night's State of the State address and what it says for Wisconsin and perhaps the governor's as yet unconfirmed presidential ambitions.
You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Did you watch, listen to, or read the speech? What did you take away from it? What should the governor's priority be in this term and as he presents a new budget in just a couple of weeks? And watching this speech, other things the governor's doing, is this a guy getting ready to run for president? Should he or shouldn't he? Call now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
One other thing that came up in the address last night, Governor Walker taking aim at the Common Core. Let's listen.
Tonight, I call on members of the state legislature to pass legislation ensuring objective information is available for each and every school receiving public funds in the state. Provide the information and allow parents to make the choice. No need for bureaucrats or politicians to make that choice. I trust parents.
And the governor there talking about school accountability, which has been much in the news in the last week or so. And along with that, last night he was asking for some clear standards that did not involve the Common Core. What did you hear last night when it came to schools, Mike?
I heard parents should get the right to choose. That was the main thing, the main theme the governor wanted to discuss. And so parents should get the right to choose in terms of schools. Schools should get the right to choose whether they want to follow Common Core to begin with. It was a lot of kind of individual choice, which is part and parcel of the governor's political philosophy.
And another issue that came up, taxes. What did the governor have to say when it came to taxes in Wisconsin?
He promised lower property taxes 4 years from now and was hoping to, I think, will continue to work to keep taxes low in other ways over the course of his term. But he took some time to talk about how property taxes were lower now than they were when he took office and how that would also be true in 4 years.
And the Democratic response to what was said last night, what did you hear?
I heard, folks who don't quite, agree with Governor Walker on almost anything. I think, you saw a group that is a little smaller than they were in the last legislative session and are, they have fewer potential allies on the other side, as some of the more moderate Republicans didn't run for re-election in the last go-round. And so you saw a group that, deeply opposes Governor Walker's political agenda and is working to find ways to oppose it through the legislative process.
Well, go to our phone lines right now. We've got Anthony joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Anthony.
I was just wondering how an elected official who has no background in education can all of a sudden decide how our children in this state are supposed to be educated. I mean, we have a lot more social problems that deal with why schools are failing, but we're not dealing with those, but we're going to go after the teachers and say it's the teacher's fault rather than a house that's in disarray, parents that aren't there. I mean, it's a variety of things. It's not just one thing that's going to solve this problem.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Anthony. Appreciate that. And Anthony, getting at some of the divisiveness around schools, school choice, school accountability, Common Core, all of that right now here in Wisconsin. Some of this is part of a big national picture, too.
It is. It's a part of a national picture, and it's a part of a really big philosophical debate about who should be in charge here and who's at fault. Is it individuals? If you get bad grades, is it your fault? Is it your teacher's fault? Is it your community's fault? Is it the government's fault? Is it some mixture of all of those things? And conservatives tend to look at educators and individuals, and liberals tend to look at societal, kind of broader societal norms and kind of the way society in some places has a lot of resources and in other places doesn't. And they, you know, different people on different sides of the aisle pin the blame on different things, and they don't tend to be in office long enough to be able to exact enough of their philosophy to see if they're really right or if the other side is really right. It's a really, really challenging thing. But the caller is right that a lot of the folks who are making policies about education or anything, healthcare and the like, don't have a background and might, you know, benefit from tapping experts' opinions to try to figure out what it is they do, which isn't to say that they don't, but it doesn't get as much attention when they do.
Now, going back to the Democratic response, Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling said she thought that the governor didn't account enough in his speech for the budget shortfall. Of course, you'll be speaking more about that in the budget address in February. But is that typical in a talk like this, in a State of the State address, that the finances are put on hold for later? Or would you have expected to hear more?
You could imagine, and we've seen examples of executives, whether they be governors or presidents, trying to set expectations for the economic medicine that might be to come in the State of the State or State of the Union kind of address, where they might say, we're going to have some hard choices to make. Well, you know, our bills are coming due and we have a deficit before us and we have to find ways to eliminate that deficit or pay down our debt. And we're going to try to save money in these ways, or we're going to try to be more efficient in these ways. And we saw seeds of the efficiency talk in Governor Walker's State of the State address, but not a direct engagement with a potential budget deficit.
Now, the governor is reportedly speaking in Iowa less than a couple of weeks coming up now. Given that, how would you view this speech? Would you say that he's sort of hitting the pause button, getting ready for that, or is this all part and parcel of what you'd expect in that lead up again?
Well, if he's running for president, he's doing the kinds of things we would expect him to do, which is to not say that he's running, but not eliminate the possibility, and to talk broadly about accomplishments and not give much in the way of specifics for a second term agenda. And the other kinds of things are lining up. He started to assemble a staff that might serve him if he decides to run. He has said for a long time that if Paul Ryan ran, he wouldn't be likely to run. Congressman Ryan is not going to run for president and said so. And so that also continues to open the door. And so a lot of the things that we've been saying for months, well, if this happens and this happens and this happens, you know, he'll probably run. Those things are starting to happen.
I'm curious if you've noticed anything different in his presentational style. If he were grooming himself for a presidential run, would you expect to see, I don't know, flashier ties, a different speaking style, different hand gestures, or is it just too early for all that?
I think that politicians run a danger of trying to change who they are. Al Gore took a lot of heat when he started wearing brown suits during the 2000 presidential campaign, and there was all these stories about earth tones and Gore trying to change himself. And, you know, Governor Walker knows who he is and, you know, is a capable public speaker and isn't likely to change too much about how he does things. He's talking a lot about his faith, about the military, and about individual freedom in his most recent public addresses, and that's what we would expect of someone who might run for president.
And he's talking about the Packers.
Yes, absolutely. And jabbing Governor Chris Christie, who hugged Dallas Cowboy owner Jerry Jones a couple weeks ago. And Governor Walker said he hugged Packer owners in the crowd at Lambeau last week.
Well, they can only use that, I guess, for so long. Whoever it is, if Packer season could be ending this Friday, so maybe we'll be not seeing quite as much of that.
Well, as a Vikings fan, I'm in favor of that. But, you know, I should probably saddle up with my hometown team.
And the game is Sunday, Rob points out. He doesn't want me to get that wrong. The dyed-in-the-wool Packer fan. Well, Mike, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
Mike Wagner is an assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. We've been talking about last night's State of the State address.